You're listening to audio from Cornerstone Covenant Church in Big Spring, Texas. Thank you so much for joining us online. To find more resources or to donate to this amazing ministry, please visit us at cccbigspring.org or text your amount to 84321. Hey, we're so glad that you're here. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God.
2 Samuel 13 and 20. And then I also want you to find Proverbs 31. If you found both of those passages of Scripture, I want you to signify by saying amen. Our topic today is on, of course, domestic violence, domestic violence awareness. What is domestic violence? According to most published literature, it is the mistreatment of a family member. It can be physical. This can involve pushing, slapping, punching, kicking, and use of weapons or any use of force that causes pain or injury. It can also be emotional. An abuser may use threats of harm to his or her partner, family member, friend, or your possessions. Deprive you of money, deprive you of your sleep, deprive you of even of affection. Harassment at work or even at home. Insult or other verbal abuse is also used. Or any pattern of behavior that causes emotional pain. But it also can be sexual. Sexual mistreatment, including rape, is not uncommon in abusive relationships. What I want to do is I want to bring you to a passage that many of us here at CCC are familiar with. I want you to go to 2 Samuel, the 13th chapter, and I want to look at verse 20. This will not be our topic, but we're going to use this scripture as a backdrop. For you who don't know about Tamar, Tamar certainly suffered domestic violence. She was actually raped by her brother Amnon. And when she goes through the emotional abuse and he not only physically and emotionally, sexually abused her, he then embarrassed her, caused her to be in shame as he kicked her out of his house. She was there to minister and to meet his needs. His needs was that he was pretending to be sick. She asked for permission to go and bring him some food and to make some of his favorite meals as she tried to nurse him back to health, not realizing that it was a lie. He was being deceptive. And when she got close enough, the wolf attacked her and she was sexually assaulted. But there's a reason why we're going to this passage in light of what Kelsey shared with us today. Notice three things in this passage that I want to read. 2 Samuel 13 and 20. And Absalom, this is her brother, says to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you?" Listen to what he says. "But now hold your peace, my sister." You know what he's telling her? Be quiet. Don't speak about this. The second thing, he is your brother. He's in the family. So we're not going to talk about this because he's in the family. Notice the next thing. Don't take this thing to heart. Can you imagine being physically, emotionally, or sexually assaulted and someone says, "Don't take it to heart"? When that's the first thing that is pierced when we're assaulted is our hearts. Lastly, the Bible says, and so Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. She's desolate. She's been told not to speak about it. She's been told not to take it to heart. And now she's in the home, desolate, not productive, not producing because of the abuse that she suffered. What I want you to do now is go with me. This is our focus today. Proverbs 31. I want you to look at verses 8 and 9. We're familiar with verse 10, but I want to move up back a few verses. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Your translation may be different from mine, but I believe you'll be able to follow along. If you've arrived to that portion of Scripture, I want you to signify by the saying of amen. You'll find these words recorded. It says, "Open your mouth for the speechless, and in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." I want to speak to you briefly on this subject in mind, finding our voices. Finding our voices. I believe that God's going to bless somebody to get their voice back. I'm going to do my best, my country best, to teach this in a way that is applicable. But we got to get our voices back. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and share the gospel with your sheep, with your people. We thank you for what has been done here today. Now, Lord, bless us like only you can. We stand against the forces of darkness. We resist the evil one. And we say, Lord, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven in this service right now. In Jesus' name, let all God's people say amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, find your voice. Find your voice. Amen. Please be seated. How many of you are familiar with Proverbs 31 of the virtuous woman, right? How many did you know that in that particular chapter, even though we talk about the wise writer and the king, that this particular chapter is about a mother's fingerprint on her son? How many of y'all did not know that? Be honest. Don't make me tell Jesus on you. This is a wonderful chapter. Chapter 31 of the book of Proverbs is about a mother's impact on her son's life. The king is a man by the name of King Lemuel. He has a mother that has had a tremendous impact on his life based on what she's taught him. If you read verses and study verses 1 through 7, you'll see some things she does in his life. First of all, she starts with his childhood. She takes him on through his adolescence, and she deals with him as a prince, and then eventually he becomes a king. Now, with that being said, she takes him again. I want to say that again. She takes him, of course, as an infant, as a young child. She raises him up as a young son. He becomes a prince. And during his leadership, he then becomes the king. And she has her fingerprint on his life the whole way. How do we know that? Based on some of the things that she says. One of the things that I want you to know is that she warns him in verses 1 through 7 about the indulgence of unhealthy relationships. She tells him, hey, you got to be careful about who you connect to. Particularly, she was talking about those of the female persuasion. That's what gives birth to chapter or verse number 10 that deals with the virtuous woman. But before she talks about the virtuous woman, she talks about unhealthy relationships, and she talks to him about this experience. And so she tells him, listen, son, you are the king, and you have to be careful about your relationships. The other thing she tells him about is the overindulgence of drinking. She said she warns him about drunkenness. Why does she do this? She does this because she wants him to understand that unhealthy relationships or his drunkenness can become an unnecessary distraction. Say that with me. Unnecessary distraction. How many of you have been unnecessarily distracted? In other words, there are some things that are not an unnecessary distraction. You're going forward, you're doing things, and all of a sudden your kids do something, and it garnishes your attention. I would suggest to you that is not an unnecessary attention grabber. Those things are important because what it does, it causes us to reshift and reprioritize. But his mother says, look, you have to be careful about unnecessary distractions. And then she's also concerned about the drunkenness or the toxicity of the relationships impairing his judgment. Amen. In other words, birds of a feather. She's concerned about the drunkenness and the relationships impairing his judgment. And then the last thing that she's concerned about is not just his impaired judgment. She's also worried about his leadership being questioned. She doesn't want him to grow up in his leadership because his mother recognizes that in the role that he's been given, listen to this, the role that he's been given as a leader comes with responsibility. The problem is, I understand that we live in a time that people want total authority, but no responsibility. So she's got her fingerprint on his heart, in his life, and she's teaching him about this particular role. So she don't want him to become unnecessarily distracted. She don't want him to have his leadership questioned. What is leadership? You've heard it here once. You've heard it 1,000 times. And that is, leadership is the process of influencing others to accomplish a mission by providing purpose, motivation, and direction. If you was to squeeze leadership down to one word, it would be influence. Somebody say influence. And because it can be defined as influence, she understands that there are some things that have been given to him. And that's what I'm going to teach you about today. There's some things that has been given to him as a king that he needs to take serious. Every person in here needs to understand that the role that you play in the family, the role you play in the community, the role that you play in church, it comes with a role, and that role comes with a responsibility. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. One of the things that is important is that she's teaching him is the importance of position. Somebody say position. Yeah, God gives you position. I told you last week when we was talking about this particular subject and we used the boxes about have faith in God. I told you that Greek word was pistis, have belief, have confidence, right? Rely on, depend, and trust God. It's an intentional place. Well, you need to understand when it comes to leadership, leadership comes with an intentional role. And that role, number one, is position. Somebody say position. In other words, every person in here, God has given you a strategic position, and your position matters. Listen to me. Your position matters. Your positions in the home matters. Your position in church matters. Your position on the job matters. Listen, let me be more specific. Your position in that relationship matters. The relationship you have with your children as a parent matters. Your relationship with your parents matters because they all come with a responsibility. So his mother is teaching him about the importance of the position that he's been called to play. I want every person in here to capture this, that there is in your role because you have a voice. And I'm challenging you this morning to find your voice. But if we're going to find our voice, we got to be willing to admit that we lost it. The position that you have comes with the responsibility. Somebody say position. But not only does it come with position, anytime God strategically placed you somewhere, it also comes, listen to this, it comes with power. So God doesn't just give you position. Position must be balanced with power. Have you ever worked in a job where you had responsibility but no authority? Have you ever done that? Don't go overboard, because sometimes you don't get total authority because you don't have total trust yet. But understand, any role that you've been given comes with position, and position comes with power. So somebody say position. Somebody say power. It's going to make sense here in a minute. I'm not lost. I'm going to take you right where verses 8 and 9 is. But before I do that, I want to lay a foundation. Somebody say position. Somebody say power. Also, I know y'all wondering how many boxes he got today. Here it is. His mother's fingerprint on his life. She doesn't want him to get bogged down in unhealthy relationships. She doesn't want him to become distracted and have his leadership questioned and get caught up in unnecessary distractions. She doesn't want him, amen, to become vulnerable. Amen. So vulnerable that now all of a sudden his judgment is now being impaired. So he must recognize his role in his position, his power, and that is balanced with the third one. And that is protection. This is key. Anytime God gives you a role, the role is for a reason. The role is to let you know what your position is. Your role is to reveal also what the power is. Because you don't get total power, you get enough power to do what the role calls for. And then all of a sudden, because that would be abuse. And then all of a sudden, we have not just position and power, we also have protection that comes with that role. I'm not saying that you won't be bruised. I'm not saying you won't be scarred. I'm saying as a leader, when God gives you position, when God gives you not only position and power, he also gives you the role and the responsibility to protect those under your leadership. His mother is putting her fingerprint on his heart to teach him a very powerful principle. Now check this out. She teaches him about the overindulgence of drinking. She teaches him and warns him about relationships. And then she gets, I want you to think about this. You have position, power, protection. And then she goes into verse number 8 and she says this. She says, what we need you to do is open your mouth. son. He's the king. She says, open your mouth. Somebody say, open up your mouth. Look at your neighbor and say, some people tell you talk too much. Somebody, listen, sometimes you need to be told you don't talk enough. See, it's not that people, see, sometimes people say you talk too much. Usually when we talk too much, we're just not talking about the right things. You can't talk too much about the good stuff. You can't talk too much about the right thing. She tells him in verse number 8, Proverbs 31, verse 8, she says, open your mouth. Here it is, for the speechless. That's my first point. Open your mouth for the, so we must speak up for the speechless. Now, the question we must ask ourselves is this, who are the speechless? I'm so glad you asked. The speechless, according to the Hebrew, is a funny word. It is alein in the Hebrew. It literally means people who are silent or who have become silent. So that means they could have been born silent or they became silent. These also, this Hebrew word translates to those who are unable to speak. Once again, people who were born that way or people who over time became unable to speak. Do you not see the picture of Tamar in that house being desolate? Somebody who has now become silent by her abuse. She is now unable to speak because she's been told to hold her peace and not to speak about this issue. So all of a sudden you see the mother tells her son, King Lemuel, she says, you need to speak up for the speechless. Speak out for the speechless. Speak out for people that cannot speak for themselves. But this is why. Come here, Danny, real quick. I want to have you do something for me. Are you okay with this? Mm-hmm. You don't know what it is. Okay. What I want you to do is I want you to lay head down that way. Turn this way. Yeah, I got you. Okay. She says, listen to this. She says, open up your mouth and speak for the speechless. I told you that Hebrew word is alein. But then after she says, speak up, the Proverbs writer, the writer says, speak up for those who are unable to speak. Speak up for those who have become silent. Then he says this, because it has been appointed to them to die. Now, that particular phrase is important because it literally paints a picture of people who are, number one, being crushed. It's a picture of people who are destitute. It is a people who are not in a good way. So here it is. The board represents abuse. I represent the abuser. So I have my foot on him. So he is now being crushed. He is now being oppressed. He is now in an unhealthy place. His mother tells him to speak for those who are being crushed, because if you don't speak for the speechless, she says, it has been appointed to them to die. In other words, if this person's situation doesn't change, he or she is not going to make it. Listen to this. Those who are crushed, those who are oppressed, but notice this. She says it has been, or the writer says, it has been appointed to them to die. That means if you don't speak quick, they're not going to make it because it's time sensitive. Can I tell you this? Sometimes we put it off too long. I'm just praying about it. How are you going to pray about somebody getting punched out? You should be praying as you call in the police. Come on, talk to me, somebody. You should be calling reinforcement. But I'm just going to pray about it. She says to her son, she says, you must speak for the speechless. Danny is not speaking. And stop, let me stop right here and say this. It's not just women that are abused. Men are abused as well. I remember working law enforcement many years ago. I responded, and more times, I'm going to tell you, sometimes we go into a situation of domestic violence with perceived ideas, and that's based on conditioning, training, and habit. I remember responding to a situation. We got the call. They told us what code we was authorized to go in. All of a sudden, we're going over to the house, and then we make it over there, and the husband is sitting out on the porch crying. His wife had beat him halfway to death. I had never seen anything like that. That was my first experience with seeing that type of abuse. I had never seen anything like that. That shattered my image of what domestic violence looks like. Because up until this point, it looked one way. Now all of a sudden, it looks entirely another way. But the writer says, speak for the speechless. Are you with me? The second thing I want you to capture is that not only did he tell him to speak for the speechless, he says, open your mouth, judge righteously. Listen, open your mouth. Somebody say, open your mouth. Come on, somebody say, open your mouth. That phrase, open your mouth, means, number one, to speak deliberately. Somebody say, speak deliberately. It doesn't just mean to speak deliberately. It also means to speak without fear. Listen, but it also means that if you have fear, speak anyway. Y'all missed that. Y'all missed it. I'm going to say it again. When he says open your mouth, it means literally to speak deliberately. But when he says open your mouth, it means also not to just speak deliberately, but to speak without fear. But if you found fear in your heart, as Kelsey said today, and you can't shake it off, you need to speak anyway. In other words, don't let fear grip your heart that it silenced you. Look at your name and say, we got to find our voice. So here it is. Speak, open your mouth, and in verse 9, he says, and judge righteously. Open your mouth, judge righteously. What does that mean? In other words, when you open your mouth this time, he says you need to open your mouth, first of all, with care. There should be a caring element to what you're getting ready to open your mouth about. Not only should it be coupled with care, it needs to be coupled, listen to this, with compassion. So it needs to be with care, it needs compassion, and then here's the thing, and it also needs to be coupled with courage. You got to have courage to speak out, because sometimes you'll find yourself in an environment where people are trying to silence you. Can you imagine being young Tamar, being surrounded by family and friends, and people are saying, hold your peace? Can you imagine being in an abusive situation and people are reminding you that that's your relative? Don't get them in trouble. Don't say nothing. They got kids, or that they're going to go to prison, or if you do that, these are going to be the consequences. So people stay silent, not realizing that now you've helped your oppressor keep the oppressed down. He says, speak. Judge righteously, but open up your mouth. Here it is. Here's my second one. He says, and plead the cause of the poor. Now, the word poor there is the Hebrew word ani. Ani means those who have been afflicted. It also means not just those who have been afflicted. It means those who are weak, okay? It means those who have been depressed. So all of a sudden, you have Danny, who is our victim, who is now being oppressed. He says, speak for the speechless. Number two, that's my second point, speak for the poor. There are going to be people that are going to be in a situation where the word poor doesn't mean lacking money. It means to be destitute. It means to be lacking something. What are they lacking? Well, they, number one, are being afflicted. You ever met somebody that was afflicted? Going through pain? Going through trauma? They're in a situation where they feel weak. He says, you got to speak out for them. Here's my third one. He says, in that same passage, open your mouth and plead the cause of the needy. The word needy there in the Hebrew, it literally means avon is the Hebrew word. It's avon, or avion rather. Avion is a strange word because it takes, going back to look at this situation in context, you realize that that Hebrew word means people who are abused. It means those who are in need of deliverance. Listen to this. It means those, the word literally means those who are in trouble. So all of a sudden, I'm his oppressor. Look at all the mothers when I mash on that board. Look at their faces. I wish I had a camera that went back this way. We already tested this in the background, in the back, so don't y'all worry about it. But this is what I want you to see. He says, speak out for the speechless, speak out for the poor, speak out for the needy. Now, remember I told you, and let me tell you something. Sometimes you're going to run into people that have needs. I was telling them this morning at the 9 o'clock service, sometimes people are in a situation where they are in need of deliverance. They are in need of support and help. Sometimes they're this way, but you see them up and moving. Many years ago when I was in education, I was teaching an English class in junior high, and I had a young lady in my class who, and I was telling them, I must confess, it was many years ago, and I was a little bit more military-minded, and so we were taught about order, and you eliminate distractions, and so this person was a total distraction, so I would just write her up and just send her to the office so she could have ISS, because I was brought up a little different. I believe that you should not be an interruption to other people's educational experience, and if you're a total distraction to other people being educated, and you don't want to be educated, then put you in a place where that doesn't matter. That was my thinking. But then I messed around and prayed. Anybody ever messed up and prayed? Anybody ever messed up and prayed? Come on, you know what it means to mess up and pray, don't you? In other words, you made up your mind, your heart of what you want to do, and then you mess around and prayed, and then all of a sudden God changes all that stuff. And you're like, Lord, I wish I wouldn't. If I just stayed in my flesh, I wouldn't have had to worry. But I messed up and prayed. Anybody ever messed up and prayed? Okay, I just know I wasn't the only one. So I messed up and prayed, and I came into class, prepared my class, and then all of a sudden this particular class came in, and that young lady was there. And she had moved in from Colorado, and I was she started her thing again, just like always. And this time, because I had prayed, I asked her a question, not knowing what the response would be. And I asked her, I said, what's wrong with you? I didn't mean it in a disrespectful way, nor a disrespectful tone, but that's just what came up out of me. And the class went silent, just like y'all. Everybody went to look at her. And she started crying. She said, I had to move here from Colorado. I'm now living in Texas. But before I left, I was involved in an altercation with my mother. And she beat me up. This is junior high. She beat me up so bad, I did not know that when I fell and she threw me outside against the curb, I lost my baby before the ambulance could make it. So here you have a young girl who's in junior high, who is pregnant, who just lost her baby, and it was at the hands of her mother. And she was sitting in class looking at me saying, what more can you do to me? She was in pain. She was being oppressed. She was suffering. I want to let every person in here know that you got to find your voice. You got to find your voice as if you're being victimized, if you've been in pain, but we certainly have to find our voice to speak out on behalf of those who have been assaulted. Here it is. King Lemuel's mother teaches him about the power of his position, his power, listen to this, protection, and the role that he's supposed to play. So this is a picture of what that looks like. You're saying, what is my role in my community? What is my role in my family? What is my role in my church and in my circles of influence? This is what it looks like. When you bring it together, God gives you position. That position is strategic. God also gives you power. That power is strategic. God also gives you protection. That protection is strategic. We call it influence. But when you put position, power, and protection together, what you now discover is your purpose. So you go from power, or from position to power to protection equals your purpose. Now listen, this has to be unified. So when you put your position and you get in place, and you put your power where it's supposed to be, and you bring your power together with the understanding that you have been called to protect, now all of a sudden this looks like this. And so your job now is to remove the responsibility, remove the pain and the oppression off the oppressed. And all it takes is you opening up your mouth. If we're going to find our voice, We got to acknowledge that we lost it. But this is what I've discovered. If you, listen to me, if you find your voice will find you. If you find your voice will find you. Now, the last thing I would suggest to you, have you ever played in your room and you pretended to be an echo? No, that was a question. Show of hands. Show of hands, you've done the echo thing. Anybody done the echo thing driving down the road? Y'all never done the echo thing like, hello, 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 hello. Y'all have never done that? Maybe that's the life in the country. I guess we didn't have no toys, so we just, hello, hello. Anybody ever done the echo thing? Oh, some of y'all just too deep. Y'all don't want to admit that y'all did it. You know? You never counted how many steps it takes before you get to the next line, and y'all never, country again, I'm sorry. Okay, here it goes. I'm finishing. Listen to this. Check this out. When we say hello, 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 we call that mimicking an echo. You know what an echo is? An echo is a sound that repeats or reverberates after the original sound has stopped. Listen, an echo is a sound that repeats or reverberates after the original sound has stopped. One more time. An echo is a sound that repeats or reverberates after the original sound has stopped. You know what the church has to be, the faith community? You know what we have to be? We have to be an echo to people who are in trouble. The young lady, Kelsey, who was with us this morning, she had to leave a little early. She was here for the 9. She had to leave a little early for the 11 because she has to go to work. But the pain she's been through, she needs friends and family and support systems. People who have been abused. There's some abused people in this room. You need to share your story, but you need friends and family to be an echo. An echo is a sound that repeats or reverberates after the original sound has stopped. It looks like this. Stop, 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 stop. That hurts, 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 hurts. I'm in pain, 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 pain. They need us to echo what they are saying. It is a painful thing to speak out your pain and to see your words fall to the ground, but they should be given life by the people that care. We often say, what are we keeping alive with the oxygen of our attention? Sometimes we give more oxygen to mess than to things that are worth repeating. But we must find our voice. I know it's tough. How do you find your voice? You find your voice by recognizing God has given you one. He has given you a voice. I'm not saying that you have to run behind every cause, but I am saying that there are some causes worth fighting for, particularly in your circle of influence. So last but not least, every person in here needs to recognize, listen, his mother's fingerprint on King Lemuel's life was to remind him that God has given you position. God has given you position as well. His mother's fingerprint was to remind him that not only did God give you position, God has given you power. Guess what? God has given you power. Not only has God given you position and power, but God has given you protection. You can offer your protection at your level. Sometimes you're looking at other things saying, well, how can I help them at that level? Listen, be mindful that you can help somebody at your level. You may not have a national ministry. It may not be global, but there's somebody in your community that you can help. There's somebody in your neighborhood you can be comforting to. There's somebody in your home, perhaps, that could hear your words of encouragement. When you add your position, your power, and your protection together, what you discover is your purpose. But if we keep all this discombobulated, people stay oppressed. So our job is not just to offer our purpose. Our job is to come along and help them up. Listen to me. I heard somebody say, never look down on anyone unless you're helping them up. There's somebody in your house, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody within your family that needs your support. Every head's bowed.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed the podcast this week. And if you did, we invite you to take a moment to subscribe and follow our page. That way the word can be ready and waiting for you each and every week. Thanks again for joining us online, and we'll see you next time.